Turn to Leviticus chapter 15. Now, I hope that at least most everyone was able to read Leviticus chapter 13, 14, and 15 in the past few days. Leviticus 13 through 15 is the context of my message, but there is no way I will be able to deal with everything there. But these three chapters are summarized in chapter 15. Some places in Leviticus are separated quite evident. Others are a little more difficult to see. But here we have a clear statement, a summarization of chapter 13, 14, and 15. Let's begin in verse 31. Thus, he's speaking about everything he said through the past three chapters. Thus shall ye separate the children of Israel from their uncleanness. He did not say, thus shall ye make them clean.
No.
But thus shall ye separate them from their uncleanness. That they die not in their uncleanness. Now you have the statement of something beyond uncleanness must take place.
Exactly.
But then here's an amazing statement. That they die not in their uncleanness. When? Do you see that next one? Not if.
That's right.
Because when a man or a woman is unclean, even though they are not a priest, even though they were not a priest, people who brought their sacrifices brought them to the door of the congregation. They did not go in and do their sacrificing for themselves. The priest took care of that. But the very fact of a man or a woman's uncleanness defiled God's tabernacle. Mine and your existence defiles God.
Exactly. That's it.
It is a defiling of His holiness. It doesn't change His personal character, but it defiles God. When they defile my tabernacle, that is among them. This is the law of him that hath an issue, and he's dealt with several. Of him whose seed goeth from him and is defiled therewith, or of her that is sick of her flowers, or of him that hath an issue of the man or of the woman, and of him that lieth with her that is unclean. Those are pretty pointed phrases, and I'm not certainly going to deal with those in detail. But this is the summary. This is about our uncleanness, our defilement, because do not think of uncleanness as your hands are dirty.
Exactly.
Or that you got a cold.
Yeah.
This ain't the uncleanness we're talking about here. In these three chapters, uncleannesses are then summed up as what? Defilement.
Yes, sir.
Defilement. And in these three chapters, we see things ranging from viral to bacterial, to germ, to mere ceremonial uncleannesses. Leprosy was a real uncleanness.
Yes, sir.
Leprosy was, and yet is today, a contagious, real, bona fide uncleanness.
Yes, sir.
And I have to be kind of blunt, but a woman on her menses is not such uncleanness as leprosy. But she's still declared to be unclean by law, just as much as a leper was. As a matter of fact, the leper, especially when you read more of the preponderant testimony of the scriptures, the lepers lived outside the camp.
Yes, sir.
When a woman was on her period, she had to be separated from the camp too. So these deal with several kinds of defilements. As to leprosy, this is going to take up most of what I have to say. As to leprosy, it first must be detected.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, if you read chapter 13, 14, and 15, when it speaks of leprosy, most of what is said is about the detection of actual real leprosy.
Yes, sir.
And not just some kind of sore. Here's my title. My, and I say that because I am included. Most preachers today will talk to you. You people on TV, they'll talk to you like they've already apprehended, like they've already arrived. I'm on this journey with you.
Exactly.
The only difference is God has ordained and sent me to publicly preach and lead a local assembly. And that's the only difference. My defilement detected. I text most of you with that title. There are three conclusions that are evident about defilement, especially leprosy. The first one is this, if you read the book, chapter 13, 14, 15, suspect defilement is suspect until proven otherwise.
Yeah.
Did you read that? And it's beginning, chapter 13, and let me just read that. I'll just read it and make a few other statements. Suspect defilement is suspect until proven otherwise. Chapter 13, verse 4. If the spot or the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and in the sight not deeper than the skin, and the hair thereof be not turned white, then the priest shall shut him up that hath the plague 7 days. Why? Because we're going to detect what this really is. And the priest shall look on him the seventh day, and behold, if the plague in his sight be as a stay, and the plague spread not in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up 7 more days. And the priest shall look on him again the seventh day, and behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, and the priest shall pronounce him, what? Clean. In other words, he don't really have leprosy.
Exactly.
Might have looked like leprosy to start with.
Yeah.
May have been comparable to leprosy to start with. But it was not leprosy. But you shut him up until you're sure.
That's right.
Suspect defilement is suspect until proven otherwise. And John comes along with the New Testament in 1 John 4, verse 1. We hear these words recorded by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Try the spirits. Yes, you know why? Because there's a lot of people out there that lie on God. Just because a man, and nowadays you pretty much probably have to say it, or a woman. And somebody say, are you against woman pastors? I'm against most pastors. Male or female. Because they lie on God.
Exactly.
And just because a man or a woman quotes from the Bible, reads from the Bible, and says Bible words, does not mean they're sent of God. Try the spirits. You judge what I say from this podium by this book. And you be like the Bereans who were noble, even more so than others. And they searched the scriptures, what does it say? Daily. To see if what Paul was telling them was right. Wait a minute, he's the apostle. He was still a man.
Yes, sir.
He wrote inspired scripture, but that didn't mean everything he said and everything he always done was right. When God moved him to write the letters he wrote, he was perfect. Any other time, Mason, he was not perfect. He's just a clay pot. Try the spirits. When a man speaks and he says he's speaking for God, automatically hold him suspect. Now, I know even in some grace churches, they don't really want to talk that way. They want you to think that when they speak, it's from the cathedral itself. But it ain't so.
You're right.
Suspect defilement is suspect until proven otherwise. But here's another thing we're taught. Actual defilement is immediately declared to be so.
Yeah.
Now you see it, chapter 13 again in verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or a bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then it shall be brought unto Aaron and the priest, or unto one of his sons the priests, and the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy. You pronounce him what? You don't shut him up 7 days.
No.
He's what?
Unclean.
Right off the bat, unclean.
Amen.
John again in 2 John verses 6 to 11, he basically tells us if someone's not preaching the doctrine of Christ, don't even bid them into your house.
That's right.
And when you tell them to leave, don't bid them Godspeed.
That's exactly right.
And let me summarize this, because I could spend the whole message right there, 4 months. What is the doctrine of Christ? He says that some will come and preach not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. He says they are antichrist.
Amen.
They are antichrist. But what's that mean? Let me put it this way. Jesus Christ in human flesh did not fail at anything he came to do.
Amen.
I'm no prophet, but that's a summary of everything concerning the doctrine of Christ.
Yes,
Jesus Christ did not fail at anything the Father sent him to do.
Amen.
If he came to sanctify, people are going to be sanctified.
Yes, sir.
If he came to reconcile, people are going to be reconciled.
Amen.
If he came to save, people are going to be saved. If he came to redeem, people are going to be redeemed.
Amen.
The very ones he did it for.
Yes, sir.
And I started once, Joe, to start giving all the Old Testament passages, and I thought, I will never get through. But that's a good scale. Jesus Christ in human flesh failed at nothing.
Amen.
Nothing. But there's another one here. All defilement must have atonement. And here's the amazing thing about chapter 13, 14, and 15. All defilement must have atonement even after healing takes place. Did you read 13, 14, and 15? As a matter of fact, in 13, 14, and 15, with these issues or these uncleannesses or these defilements that are mentioned here, atonement always comes after the person is already clean from the ailment.
There you go. Yeah.
Hmm?
That's right.
You see that in leprosy itself. A person has leprosy, but then if they are healed, and how could the healing happen? They did not have drugs for this. We're talking about a miraculous act of God.
Yes, sir.
And all of a sudden, this leper out there in that leper area outside the camp says, hey, look, what's he to do?
Yeah.
Atonement must be made.
Amen.
If it was a house leprosy, house leprosy, that sounds pretty nasty. They had to disassemble that whole building pretty much. Did you read it? House leprosy. It goes on with issues of the flesh, spit, saddles, men's seed, menses. But always the atonement comes after the malady is over with.
Yes, sir.
Now that does not mean that Jesus Christ's work at Calvary is of no value till you do something to clean up yourself. Because none of these people cleaned up themselves.
Exactly.
It was either in the natural process of the ailment they were going through, or of certain cleansings that they could go through, or in the case of leprosy, that they were actually healed by God of the leprosy, then atonement was made. What's that talking about? It's talking about this. You never know God in mercy and grace until you first see the atoning work of Jesus Christ. But that's only based upon when you didn't even know about the atoning work of Jesus Christ,
yeah,
that Jesus Christ died for your sins.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see, conversion apart from Christ's personal work is useless.
Yeah.
Did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
There are thousands of men and women that will probably be converted this morning.
Yeah.
Converted to what is a big question.
Yeah.
But one thing that most of them will not be converted to is Christ and his person and work.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, there's some people that really think Jesus died just to show us this great example of how we ought to live for God and serve God, even if it means we die. But then we're converted and that's what saves us. Men and women were saved by the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ the Lord.
Amen.
Conversion apart from Christ's person and work is useless. You could have all the faith that God has, but if you have sin, God Almighty's got to deal with that sin.
Yeah.
In faith, your cleanness don't deal with your uncleanness.
That's right.
Remember, here's the leper. He's cleansed. He's still got to have what? Atonement.
That's right.
Why? Because the cleanness is bad? No. Because the uncleanness was bad. And if I only ever committed just one sin, Jesus Christ to save me would still have to be all he is and do all he ever did and do what he's doing now for me to ever be saved.
Amen. That's right.
So again, I say conversion apart from Christ's person and work is useless. But here's the question for me. And I ask it of you, but I can't prove it to you one way or the other. Yea or nay. Only the Spirit of God can prove this to you. Has my defilement been detected?
Yeah.
I walked the Nile, walked it more than once, but walked the Nile years and years and years ago. I was probably 5, 6 years old. And I prayed the prayer. I believed everything I was told I was supposed to believe. But my leprosy had never been detected.
There you go.
I didn't know I was unclean.
Yeah, that's
it. I didn't know I was defiled. I didn't want to go to hell. I remember being asked that. You don't want to go to hell, do you? Of course not. We'll pray this prayer. I did. And I believed what I prayed.
Yeah.
But I didn't know anything about my defilement.
There you go.
Nothing. Do you even suspect you're defiled? Do you even suspect it? Well, preacher, I'm just not so sure about all this sin and then sins being different. I'm just not so sure about what all that means. I don't know if I've experienced the right thing. If you even suspect you're unclean, go to the priest. Do you hear me?
Amen.
Go to the priest, right? And who is the priest typifying?
Yes, sir.
Run to Jesus Christ.
Right.
I didn't say try Jesus. Run to Jesus Christ. Go to the priest and say, look what I got.
Yeah.
Look. That looks like it could be nasty. Right?
There you go.
Hmm? Run to the priest. See the priest. And that is impossible until a person starts to see a blemish. Right? Why would you go to the priest if you don't see no blemishes? But let me tell you something. There's one place you got blemishes. That's all over your back. And we generally don't see the blemishes on our back. You got to have what? Somebody detect them for you. Mason, even if it's a mirror, something else got to detect it for you. Run to Jesus Christ. Compare your flesh to his. Hmm?
Yeah.
Run to Jesus Christ, compare your spirit to his.
There you go.
Run to Jesus Christ, compare your motives to his.
Yeah.
Run to Jesus Christ, compare your works to his. If you think you're still unblemished, you ain't run to the right Jesus yet.
Amen. That's exactly right.
Because if you go to God's high priest,
yeah,
if you go to God's priest, you're going to see everything about him is perfect. Even in his humanity.
Yeah.
And when you see him, if you really are enabled by God to see him, you're going to say, I am defiled.
Yes, sir.
I'm defiled. We all have leprosy by nature. And you know what the scripture calls that leprosy? Unbelief.
Yeah.
You know that?
Sir. Yeah.
Unbelief. That is our chief problem. We all have leprosy by nature, but it's not detected in all, is it? Oh, you know what the book says. Christ said of the Spirit of God, he called him the Comforter. And when he's come, he'll reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And he said, sin, why? Why? What's the main problem with sin? Because they believe not on me.
Amen.
Now, do not fall into the same trap that I was born and raised in. And Job could validate this. A few others that were caught up in that false religion as well. We were actually taught that Jesus Christ died for all the sins of all mankind except for unbelief.
Yep.
We were actually taught this.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody ever really goes to hell for anything other than what? Unbelief. And the only way to escape hell was to quit unbelieving and start believing.
Yep.
Now, was we taught that, Roy Jr., was we taught that or not? That's not what the book teaches. But the book does teach that unbelief is our leprosy.
Yes, sir.
We're all born, after Adam fell, we've all been born into a leper colony.
Yeah, that's it.
Your mommy and daddy were lepers, and they brought forth what? A leper. When you found you a husband or a wife, and y'all joined up and had kids, they were born lepers. And when it says he will, that is the comforter. Now, it's not real comforting when it first begins.
Yeah,
when he first begins to detect your leprosy, when he first begins to show you your defilement, it's not real comforting.
Exactly.
But he is doing it as the comforter.
Amen. That's right.
See, he's called the comforter.
Yeah.
And he does it according to God's own wise way. If I never seen the spot, Joe, I really wouldn't care.
There you go. That's right.
Leprosy, they say, generally begins like in one or two little spots.
Yep.
And then it can like just spread.
Oh, yeah.
And I've seen some pictures, especially of years ago.
Oh, man.
I mean, that stuff eats you alive.
Yeah.
He will. But he's going to do it. He will reprove. Now, go ahead and talk to most folks. Go to the mall this evening and ask them, has the Spirit of God reproved you of your unbelief in Jesus Christ? I bet you most of them, well, I believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody sees no spots, do they?
Yeah.
No.
They don't even suspect a spot.
Exactly.
I believed in Jesus since they sprinkled me when I was a baby.
Oh, yeah.
I've been brought up in the church.
Yep.
Hmm. Oh, okay. But when the Spirit of God shows you your spots, that's when things will change. Unbelief. And look at what Leviticus 13 says. Look like one more time. Verse 3 about leprosy. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh. Remember, this is the real leprosy.
Yeah.
And when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh. My problem ain't just what you see out here on the outside.
Right.
It's what's down underneath.
You're right.
You see, most of us, we can do pretty good about putting on some long sleeves.
Yeah.
Long dress or long pair of pants cover up our what? Our spots.
Yep.
But the problem with leprosy is it starts where? On the inside.
Exactly.
On the inside. And our problem, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The things we do outwardly are because of our corrupt, leprous heart. And the scripture calls it an evil heart of what? Unbelief. You see, if I believed God like I ought to believe God, I'd never have a problem with anything else. Look at Jesus Christ. Look at Jesus Christ. I didn't say you won't have troubles. He had trouble. He's a man of trouble, sorrows. But Joey faced them in perfect faith.
Amen.
Perfect obedience. Why? Because he had faith in its fullness. He is God.
Amen.
He's God.
Amen.
And God is called the faithful God. In other words, Mason, he plumb full of faith.
That's exactly right.
He plumb full of faith. And remember, by the law, you must be clean first when it comes to leprosy. Then you'll see atonement.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Now, this lets me know a couple things. One, the Levitical sacrifices were insufficient.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Because you didn't offer sacrifice to get rid of the leprosy. You only offered the sacrifice once God Almighty had healed you of the leprosy. But isn't there something there for us as revealed even in the New Testament? You remember Peter, they wasn't told this directly right up front. It's amazing how God sometimes will teach you the truth. God's going to tell Peter, you're going to go down here and preach to a bunch of Gentiles. And Peter, if it had just been somebody said, well, I believe God wants you to go preach to the Gentiles. What do you think Peter had said? I ain't going to the unbelieving, unclean Gentiles.
That's right.
But God, in a vision, sent down a sheet. It had, as Earl used to say, polywogs and catfish and frogs and all these unclean beasts in it. God says, arise, slay and eat. And he said, no. But what did God say? Now, Cornelius ain't even heard the gospel yet. Because Peter's going to be sent to Cornelius with the gospel, which Cornelius must hear.
Yes, sir.
But what took place before he even seen the atonement?
Yep.
He was actually cleaned.
That's right.
He said, don't you call common or unclean that which I have what? Cleansed. See, I'm telling you that Jesus Christ cleansed me way before I ever even really seen it. But see it, we must.
Yes, sir.
And when God shows you your spots, your leprosy, you're going to start looking for it.
Yes, sir.
You see, belief in Christ comes only by an act of God.
Yeah, that's right.
By the very power of God Almighty. Even it's called the resurrection power of God that he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead.
Amen.
That's what it takes for you and I to believe.
Yes, sir.
A resurrection act of God Almighty. I cannot preach the gospel strongly enough to make you believe.
You're right.
But even if I preach it faultingly, if I'm preaching the truth, if God Almighty's cleansed you, bless God, you're going to run to it.
Amen.
You're going to love it. You're going to seek it out. You're going to believe it. Let me illustrate this. Now, one of my illustrations has already been dealt with by Paul. That don't mean I'm going to spare you less time. It just means I'm not going to talk about it as much. I'll talk about the other one more. There are two actual illustrations and examples of faith, believing, given in the New Testament that are pertinent to our chapter 13, 14, and 15. One is, remember the leper who came to Jesus Christ? And I am persuaded, because of the preponderant testimony of this book, just like Christ said of lepers in Old Testament days, there were many lepers in Israel.
Yep.
God, and especially in the time of Elijah or Elias, one or the other, said God didn't heal not even one Israelite leper.
That's right.
But he went and healed a Syrian.
That's exactly right.
And those people in that synagogue were ready to kill him for that.
Yes, sir.
Right? But here comes a leper. Wait a minute. He's unclean.
That's right.
He's supposed to cry. Unclean. Unclean, unclean, even when he begins to approach someone else.
Yeah, that's right.
He doesn't do that. It says he ran to Christ and fell down and worshiped him.
Amen.
But lots of people think they worship Christ. His words show his worship. He said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He knew it had nothing to do with Christ's ability. He knew Christ had the absolute full ability. The only question was God's willingness to do this thing.
Yeah.
And yet religion today turns that right around. False religion. Antichrist religion. Do they not?
Yeah.
Oh, God's so willing, he's just not able unless you do something. What a lie. If thou, where'd such a faith like that come from, Joe? He'd evidently heard something more than what most folks were hearing in the synagogues, wasn't it? Here's a man that he bowed down to.
Yes, sir.
And acknowledged his sovereign right to either heal him or not. Right? Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And the Lord, I probably looked him right in the eyes, Joe. And said, I will. Don't you think just automatically, did that make his heart rejoice?
Yes, sir.
I will be thou clean. And bless God, he was really clean.
Amen.
But it also said, not just that Christ did what? Touched him.
Yes, he did.
Amen. Let me tell you something. Unless God Almighty and the person of his Son actually touches you, you still got nothing but your leprosy, whether it's ever been detected or not.
Amen.
Where do you get such a faith like that? That's the gift of God.
Amen.
It took the power of God wrought in that man.
Yes,
sir. What about that woman with that 12 years of bleeding? I'm not going to say much other than this. Many banged up. I can just see them. Everybody wanting to touch him.
Yeah.
But she touched him. She touched him in faith.
Amen.
Now, I know some people say, well, y'all talk about faith being God's gift and it makes faith belittled. No, it doesn't. No. That gives faith a grandness because faith resides intrinsically only in God.
Amen.
True bona fide. That kind of saving faith resides only in God. It's called the fruit of the Spirit, who
Amen.
Is God.
Amen.
So if I got any of it, it had to come from Him.
Amen.
Right?
That's it.
That makes it glorious.
Yes. Yes.
Glorious. Many throned Him. She just touched Him. Where did she get such faith? As Paul said, she heard. She heard. Think of it. Both of these people disregarded scorn or even rejection. The first guy knew he didn't have to do it. But he had no other option. Did he? He had no other option. The lady, she'd exhausted all of her options. He was the only place she had left to go. Only place she had. And they weren't worried about the scorn of everyone else around them. They both broke the law.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to say it. I'll just let the chips fall. I could pull the pin out of the hanger. They both broke the law to get to Christ.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
It's true.
Hmm?
It's true. Yes,
sir. Let me tell you something. When God Almighty really shows you, detects your leprosy, you will get to Christ.
Yes, sir.
You will get to Christ.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if mom and daddy likes it.
Yep.
Doesn't matter whether your brother or sister likes it.
That's
doesn't
right.
matter whether your spouse likes it. Doesn't matter whether your cousins like it. Doesn't matter whether your co-workers like it. I got to get to Christ.
Amen. That's it. Amen.
And neither one of these people had any right to think Christ had to heal them. Even the woman just knew, here's one who can do it. And all I got to do is touch the hem of his garment. And she didn't even know he was the one that put her there to start with. Because as Paul said, now see, he preached my message, but I'm not going to let you off it quicker. He turned around to find her. And he could have said, you did it.
Oh yeah.
Could he not? Sure. It was you. He knew who it was.
Sir.
He gave her birth. He had sustained her. He's the one that caused her to actually spend everything she had so she'd have no other place to go.
Amen.
Why did he call her out? So she'd confess it. And bless God, when God Almighty shows you what you are by nature and you flee to Jesus Christ, you won't be ashamed to confess it. He says, if you are, I won't confess you before my Father.
That's what he said. Amen.
Isn't that what he said?
Sir.
Well, preacher, that's works. You call it what you want. That's what Christ said.
Amen.
Yes or no?
Amen.
He said, you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. Call it what you want. But then, got to move it. Mark 3. Now, here's a malady that a man had. It's not one of them particular to Luke 13, or Leviticus 13, 14, and 15, but I want to read it real quick, make a couple comments. Mark 3, and he entered again into the synagogue. And the scripture doesn't give us details just willy-nilly, just so we'd be historically informed.
No, you're right.
He entered into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had what? A withered hand.
Yep.
A withered hand. I mean, he couldn't use it.
Exactly.
And then, you know, people who like to write the commentaries, they want to argue over what it really meant to have a withered hand. It was a withered hand, they couldn't use it, no matter what the reason was. And they watched him, that is, these other people, watched Christ. Whether he would heal him, and here's the whole thing. So they said. So they said to themselves. Whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. I want you to see here Christ's faith. Not too many people are talking about Christ's faith. But if you've got any faith whatsoever, it's Christ's faith and a little piece of it given to you. Or maybe a big piece of it. That's according to his sovereign will. Isn't it? 1 Corinthians or one of them. It's according to his sovereign will. Let me move on. They watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. He could do that. Right? He could do it. His hand was withered, not his legs. Not his feet. So this ain't talking, though, about human ability. What's he doing here? He's setting this man up to where he's going to have to go through this publicly. Could he not have just healed the withered hands man, man's hand, and him walked out of the synagogue and nothing else be said? No. Brother Cass, couldn't he have done that? Just healed it, walked out, nothing else said. But he said, you stand up.
That's right.
He put the man on the spot. Did he not? God's going to put you on the spot when he saves you. Stand forth. And he saith unto them, this is the them now, not unto the man. He saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, or to save life, or kill? But they held their peace. Religionists don't ever want to deal with truth.
There you go.
And when he looked round about on them with anger. This is Jesus Christ, folks. You see that? Now let me tell you something. To have Jesus Christ look on you with anger, that's not a good place to be in. I'd rather have a withered hand, wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Than be whole. And you could jump up and wave your hands, use them to whatever. Looked on them with anger, being grieved, what? For their leprosy. The hardness of their hearts. He saith unto the man, I want you to do the one thing you cannot do.
Yeah.
Stick your hand out here.
Yeah.
You know what I said?
Sir.
Stretch forth thine hand. That's the one thing he couldn't do.
Exactly.
He could stand up. He could probably jump. Yeah. He could squall. He could do anything but do what?
Yeah.
Of his own power. The one thing he couldn't do was to stretch out his hand.
Yeah.
Stretch out thy hand. And he stretched it out. Why? Because Christ Almighty not only commanded him to do it, but gave him the ability to do it.
Amen.
You see it? Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the others. So the Pharisees left. Read it on. And so did Christ. You see it?
Yes, sir.
Now you would think this ought to be the tell-all of tell-alls. Right?
Yep.
Everybody ought to have been bowed down. But they weren't. But one man, I'm sure, was. I bet you that man with that straight hand now. I need to know more about this fella. Huh? I got to know more about this man. This man's unlike any other man I've ever met. He healed my hand. The Pharisees went forth and they took counsel with folks they didn't get along with. And this is the way religionists do. I remember Henry saying it years ago. You can have a Baptist, a Methodist, a Church of God, a Presbyterian, a Pentecostal, a Holiest Name in Jesus Christ. Go on and down the line. They don't get along, don't go to church together, anything. But you let one sovereign, free grace believer walk in their midst. They'll all join together to attack that man or that woman. The Pharisees joined up with the Herodians, finding some way they could get rid of Jesus Christ. And what of Jesus Christ? But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples.
Amen.
Now, which group do you want to be in? That's all. Which group do you want to be in? All men are going to be in one or the other.
Yes, sir.
Let's stand and sing number 305.